Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
This is All of It on WNYC. I'm Kusha Navadar in for Allison Stewart. In case you didn't catch it in the first hour, I wanted to let you know that Allison is on medical leave. She had a brain abscess and is now recovering following a successful surgery, and we look forward to her return. Also, a reminder that our next Get Lit with All of It book club is happening on Thursday, March 28th at 6 p.m. in the New York Public Library's SNFL branch on 40th Street and 5th Avenue. We're reading Anita DeMonte Laughs Last, and it's by Sochil Gonzalez. New Yorkers can download a free ebook copy thanks to our partners at the New York Public Library. And join us in person on Thursday, March 28th at 6 p.m. for a conversation about the novel with Sochil. Tickets are free, but you have to reserve them in advance. So for more information, head to www.wnyc.org/getlit. And happy reading. That's in the future. Now, let's get this hour started with actor Tobias Menzies. March has been a huge month for actor Tobias Menzies. Here in New York, he's been on the stage, starring in the acclaimed and harrowing play The Hunt at St. Anne's Warehouse. And this Friday marks the premiere of his new Apple TV Plus series, Manhunt, which tells the story of the search for John Wilkes Booth following the assassination of Abraham Lincoln. In Manhunt, Tobias plays Edwin Stanton, the U.S. Secretary of War under Lincoln, who became determined to do everything in his power to track down Booth and bring him to justice. We'll talk about that role more in just a bit, and we'll be joined later by the author of the nonfiction book the series is based on, James L. Swanson. But first, we're going to discuss Tobias's role in The Hunt. The story centers on his performance as Lucas, a kindergarten teacher who's been accused of molesting his students. We, the audience, know that the accusations are false, but as the story spreads throughout the community, Lucas doesn't know how to prove his innocence, and quickly a mob mentality takes hold of the townspeople that Lucas used to call friends. The Hunt runs at St. Anne's Warehouse through March 24th, and the Apple TV Plus series Manhunt premieres tomorrow. Actor Tobias Menzies joins me now to discuss both projects. Hi, Tobias. Welcome.
Hey, how you doing?
Great. Great to have you here. So let's start with The Hunt. The Hunt covers a lot of topics. There's guilt, abuse, tribalism, religion. What was it about the play that stood out to you when you first read it?
For me, I think the moral complexities of it. It doesn't offer any easy, tidy answers. I like drama like that, and I like stories like that, that have a kind of depth and a complexity to the argument. And I feel that, David Farr's adaptation of the Thomas Vinterberg film is really strong in that regard, that, yes, the story starts with a child making something up about her teacher. But really, the themes in the story go far beyond that into, as you say, what do communities do when those accusations are made? How does a group digest those moments of crisis? The individual against the group. And also a little bit about he tries to touch on a sort of slightly more Ibsen-y idea of that the seeds of our downfall are sown, you know, in our pasts, in our own parenting. And the kind of layers that the story has, and its investigation of the themes around accusation really drew me in.
It's so interesting to hear you use the term complexity, which absolutely makes sense. And in some ways is a little ironic, because if somebody were to talk about what The Hunt is about, one way you might talk about it thematically is about how you mentioned mass hysteria. distorts our perception of the world and loses complexity. It kind of turns it into binaries, like is a person guilty or innocent? Friend, enemy, in, out, hunter, prey. These are all things that you see happening to Lucas, who's the character that you play. You see the emotional burden of living in a world that's binary that you're not able to control. Is that part of what you drew you to that character of Lucas specifically?
Yes, and I guess it feels like it has a relevance now. It feels like sometimes that we're living in an increasingly binary world where you're either sort of with us or against us in a lot of our political conversation. And again, I feel like this play speaks to that in an interesting way, and hopefully in a way that kind of will create some conversation and some debate. Because obviously so many of our institutions and our civic life are dependent on creating, consent, really, a sense of common purpose. And yeah, the play is investigating how rapidly that can deteriorate, I think.
When you were preparing to play the role, was there any source material that you read or something that you drew inspiration from?
Obviously I went back to the film. Mm-hmm. It's a very brilliant film, a Danish film, written by Tobias Lindholm and Thomas Vinterberg, and directed by Thomas Vinterberg as well. I sort of read, generally around the idea of, I remember reading something, there's a guy called Durkheim who wrote about witch hunts. And I think the piece is looking into, as you say, the hysteria that can happen in groups and how the witch hunt and the history of the witch hunt is an example of how groups try to cleanse themselves from sort of perceived kind of sickness, I guess.
And it's very affecting. I watched your performance a couple nights ago, actually, and the audience was rapt. Sincerely, it felt like the only noise coming from the audience were gasps. I imagine you feel real intensity from the audience when you're on stage. As I was watching it, I was wondering, how do you hold that energy effectively on stage?
Really interesting question. Yeah, I mean, I agree. I've been very struck by the atmosphere in the room at St. Anne's Warehouse. It's been really an amazing space to do it in, but also feels like the quality of attention has been high. And yes, it has. I mean, it's not an easy play to do, every night, for that reason, in a way, because there's a level of kind of emotion sort of generated, but also kind of tension and a sort of cathartic mechanism within the piece, I think, which in a way I am kind of the conduit for. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, but I'm glad you felt that, because it certainly feels like that up on the stage.
Another thing that listeners will see if they go see the play is that Lucas has a dog. And one of the most delightful parts of the play is when your dog comes on stage for a first time. And there's a phrase that says it's difficult to act with a dog on stage because the dog is the only one who doesn't know it's acting. It seemed like you had a good handle on it. How do you manage that on stage?
He's an amazing dog. He's called Jethro. And yes, I mean, I agree. There's always a sort of a strange kind of current in an audience when a live animal comes on to a stage, because as you say, they are inherently completely authentic. And but I hope that, what we're doing on the stage alongside him is authentic enough for it to sort of live in the same world. And I love the few minutes I have on stage with him. Yeah.
Yeah. And you're handling a dog on stage, and you're handling a lot else physically. Something that stuck out during your performance was watching your character's physicality change over the course of the play. Can you talk a little bit about any bold choices that you make to enact that physicality over the course of the play?
I mean, in a way, the piece is quite a washing machine, really. So I sort of get on the cycle and it spits me out at the other end. So I suppose I did bake into the performance some significant sort of physical challenges. There's a moment when obviously I kind of run for some a sort of prolonged period of time around and round the stage. And I'm often interested in the thing really happening live, so that it's not purely performative, that there's something within the structure of what you're performing that also physically delivers you where you need to be. Mm. And that's an example of giving myself a kind of both an emotional track, but also a physical track that sort of mirrors in some way his journey. And I think that can have quite an alchemical effect on an audience, because in a way they see it being done, the work done in front of.
And it is very affecting. And if you go see it, listeners, at St. Anne's Warehouse, you'll see the amount of physicality and probably feel it as well. Let's talk a little bit about Manhunt before we bring in author and executive producer James L. Swanson. So Manhunt is an Apple TV Plus series about the hunt to catch John Wilkes Booth following the assassination of President Lincoln. And Tobias, you play Edwin Stanton, who's Lincoln's Secretary of War. You've starred in a lot of period pieces, from Outlander, The Crown, The Terror, Rome. What is it about heading to a different time period that appeals to you as an actor?
I think it's the stories. I mean, all those examples you give are, you know, so obviously some of them are fictional, some of them are historical. But, you know, I really believe that sometimes truth is often weirder and stranger than fiction. And I think the story of Manhunt is similar. I mean, I knew some of the sort of headline details, but again, the kind of intricacy, the vividness, the strangeness of what happened over those 12 days, and then the sort of the larger ramifications are both huge and surprising. And so I think often that's why I'm drawn to these stories.
Mm. Well, we're going to hear more about Tobias and your role in Manhunt, and we'll be joined by James L. Swanson, who's the author of the Manhunt book and executive producer of this series. That'll be right after the break. Stay with us. You're listening to All of It. I'm Kushan Avidar in for Allison Stewart today. I've been speaking with Tobias Menzies about his role in the new Apple TV Plus series Manhunt, and now we're bringing in author and executive producer James L. Swanson to join the conversation. For those of you who are just joining us, Manhunt chronicles the search for John Wilkes Booth in the days after the assassination of President Lincoln. Tobias stars in the series as Edwin Stanton, the Secretary of War under Lincoln, who became obsessed with finding his killer. The series is based on the best-selling work of history by author James L. Swanson. The book is titled Manhunt, The 12-Day Chase for Lincoln's Killer. James, thanks so much for joining the conversation.
My pleasure. Great to be here.
Wonderful. And Tobias, welcome back, of course. Stuck around with us. So, James, let's talk about the research for a second for the series and for the book. Once you decided you were going to tell the story of the manhunt for Booth, what was available to you? What did the research process look like for putting the story together?
Well, it took me years to do it. I went to period newspapers, trial transcripts, my own vast library of thousands of books about Abraham Lincoln and the assassination. So it was really a lifetime project looking at prints, photographs, transcripts, letters, reward posters for John Wilkes Booth and his fellow conspirators. So it was really a tout ensemble of a great variety of wonderful sources.
Wow. And what was the big question you were trying to answer when you were embarking on this book?
Well, one thing I was trying to answer is, who was Edwin Stanton, the character played by Tobias? Edwin Stanton has been lost to history. His grave is in Washington, D.C., never visited by anyone. And as far as I'm concerned, Edwin Stanton is one of the great lost heroes of American history. Mm-hmm. He had to do more than just investigate the murder of Abraham Lincoln. He had to continue to fight the war and win it, because the war wasn't over. Lee had surrendered to Grant at Appomattox, yes, but there were Confederate armies still in the fields. Then he had to organize the manhunt for Booth, and then he had to organize the funeral train for Abraham Lincoln that took him across the country, and he had to win the war, because it could still end in a bad way. The Confederacy could rise up. That's what John Wilkes Booth wanted to do. And also, I wanted to explore the relationship between Abraham Lincoln and Edwin Stanton. They were great friends and very close. They loved each other. Lincoln once said, "Stanton is the rock upon which the waves of rebellion crash and are broken. And I could not survive this without him." So it's a story of Lincoln's friendship with Edwin Stanton and the great pressures on Stanton to investigate the murder, hunt for John Wilkes Booth, win and end the Civil War, and organize a great funeral tribute that took Lincoln across the country on a majestic funeral train that displayed his body in an open coffin to millions of people all across America.
Wow. Tobias, listening to James describe the, I guess, enormity is the right word, of this character, the real life character, you are tasked with playing this person. What research did you do into the character of Edward Stanton?
Well, I read James's book. What else did I do? I watched Ken Burns's documentary on the Civil War because I felt the history of those 4 years leading up to the assassination of Lincoln were cast, you know, a huge part of what happened and this story. So many people had lost so much. So many people had died, you know. So just the sort of the shadow cast by that deeply traumatic conflict. I also read a book called Team of Rivals, which is about Lincoln's cabinet. I guess that was more to give me a sense of the kind of political world that's and Stanton features in that book. And it's a very vivid and brilliant evocation of those times and a sense of, I guess, the kind of discursive quality of politics then. It was a politics of, you know, you had to be heard at the back of the room. You had to convince people face to face. It's a very physical, verbal, active process. And in that way, you know, a real change from our own times, which obviously, you know, highly digitized. And so, yeah, getting into the sort of sense of that felt important. And then, you know, coming off the back, you know, obviously working with Monica's words and the scripts that then she wrote in response to the history and to James's book. Yeah, trying to fold all those things together.
Yeah.
Come up with, you know, a central character that an audience would want to spend time with and follow.
You mentioned Team of Rivals. I want to give a shout out to the author, Doris Kearns Goodwin, who wrote that book. And, you know, James, Tobias, you're talking about Edwin Stanton's deep relationship with Lincoln. And Lincoln is a featured player in this series as well. It's a character so iconic that it seems daunting to try to portray him on screen. That honor went to Hamish Linklater, who you star opposite in many flashback scenes, Tobias. So what Yes. do you admire most about Hamish's portrayal of Lincoln?
I love it. I loved working with Hamish. He's a very fine actor, but also someone, a real collaborator. And so, I mean, the way we tell that relationship is, as you say, through flashback, because the story begins with his death. So we had to quite deftly create that friendship. And a lot of that was in a way about the atmosphere. And as James has said, at the start of the story, the two men who were very bonded through their experience of having worked together through the Civil War. And I think it's not an overstatement to say that there was love there. And a huge political kind of affiliation, because they were really had a significant project they were trying to deliver, which is one of the things that the show digs into, is the loss of Reconstruction, which was one of the fallouts from Lincoln's killing.
Another thing the series goes deeply into, obviously, is the investigation as well, which is very interesting because you get to see what an investigation looked like in the 1800s. And James, I'm wondering, could you explain a little bit what an investigation would have looked like in the 1800s for listeners? I imagine it must have been very hard to find someone in a time without you know, WhatsApp or Instagram or anything like that. How did those investigations work?
Well, the problem was no one knew where Booth went. He leapt to the stage, he got on his horse, and he rode into the middle of nowhere. People were arrested on trains in New York City because they looked like John Wilkes Booth. 200 people were murdered in the streets across America who expressed sympathy with Booth and hatred of Abraham Lincoln. They had to bring in detectives from New York, and huge rewards were offered. Money was a key aspect of the hunt for Booth. The War Department and Stanton offered a $100,000 reward for Booth and his fellow conspirators, which was a fortune then. A private in the Union Army made $12 or $13 a month. There was a lion's sum of money, and that motivated thousands of people to start hunting for John Wilkes Booth. The reward was ultimately paid to about 40 people who were key involved in the capture and hunting for Booth. And so it was War Department detectives, it was policemen, it was Army patrols. In fact, it was a cavalry patrol of the 16th New York Cavalry that finally caught up with Booth, and he was shot to death at the Garrett Farm in Virginia 12 days into the manhunt. But we should not underestimate the importance of greed and money in catching John Wilkes Booth.
Greed and money seems the tale as old as time, right? Tobias.
You bet.
Yeah. Tobias, we looked at a picture of Edwin Stanton before this segment. I'm sure you've seen it. In most of the photos we have of Stanton, he is sporting this truly gigantic beard. And in the show, you are clean shaven. Was this a creative choice for the hair and makeup teams? Why not go for the beard?
Yes, I'm worried that James might tell me off here. But yes, I mean, the photographs we have of Stanton are very whiskery. And yes, it was a creative license to, I guess, make the person that's going to lead our audience through this story. And it's a complex story. An easier silhouette to follow. It just would have been a very busy image, and yeah, I hope people will forgive us for taking that license. And I guess, you know, the sort of visual language of the story is a true crime thriller. There's something, you know, noir about it, and so yes, to have something a little more everyman at the heart of it, I think narratively was helpful for us.
And there are absolutely, James, please go ahead.
May I add something about the beard? I don't miss it, because what Tobias does, and I was in Savannah on set watching him portray Stanton, he captures the true intensity and character and personality of Edwin Stanton, his ferociousness, his dedication to Lincoln and to the Union. And I think the beard might have been a distraction. Imagine if everyone who had a beard in real life had it in the series. It would have been a festival of beards. and so what I think Tobias has done, he's captured the real Edwin Stanton. And so the beard issue really doesn't matter to me.
And it's interesting.
That's such a relief to hear. Thank you, James.
And for the record, there are actually many beards in this series. I have noticed there many. It is quite whiskery in a wonderful way. Tobias, you were talking about the atmosphere. And one thing listeners will see immediately is the set and costumes for this are really amazing. Was there something specific from your costume or the set that helped you get into character?
Yes, all of it. I mean, one of the great blessings of, working on a show that has the kind of financial, support that Apple gave us was that we were able to work with, you know, a very brilliant costume designer and production designer. One of the amazing things each day is, walking into these rooms that have, a lot of them have been built from scratch on stages, and it was so helpful to help us immerse ourselves in the world and the feeling of it. You get a lot from the clothes you wear and the rooms that you're sat in and the props. And there was a huge amount of dedication from the crew. I think a lot of people had a lot of really wanted to bring this story vividly to a screen. And I don't know. I think maybe it's. Yeah, I wonder. I don't know. I can't quite put my finger on why that would be, but I had a sense that it wasn't entirely, there was something personal about it.
James, does that resonate for you? That you can't put your finger on it? Yeah.
Well, I was on that set. Among the sets was a 60,000 square foot sound set, and they recreated brilliantly the War Department telegraph office. When I walked into that room, there were burned cigars in ashtrays. There were telegraph lines across the room. The the shelves were lined with books that would have been there at the time. And that room and those sets teemed with life, with the actors and their costumes and the sets. It was just a stunning visual achievement, I felt.
I agree. Completely agree.
Manhunt premieres on Apple TV Plus tomorrow night. Tobias Menzies, thank you so much for hanging out with us and for this work that you produced.
It's a real pleasure. It's great to chat with you and with James.
Yeah. And now author James L. Swanson is going to stick around with us to talk about his new work of history, The Deerfield Massacre, A Surprise Attack, A Forced March, and The Fight for Survival in Early America. Stick with us. We'll be right back.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And it's your last chance to get more fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this limited-time bundle ends June 30th. Save now at cedarpoint.com.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.